Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TomTom third quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question and answer session towards the end of today's prepared remarks, at which time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star one on your telephone. If at any time during the call you require audio assistance, feel free to press star zero and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Vishwa, Investor Relations Officer. You may begin.
Thank you, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our conference call, during which we will discuss our financial results for the third quarter of 2013. With me today are Harold Goddijn, our CEO, and Marina Wyatt, our CFO. This call is being broadcast live on our website, and a recording of the call will be available shortly afterwards. As usual, I would like to point out that safe harbor applies. Following recent feedback from our analysts covering TomTom, we have decided to change the setup of our presentation with the aim to structure this call in a time-efficient manner. We will highlight key operational and financial developments for the quarter in our introduction, which shall take a maximum of 15 minutes, whereafter we will take your questions. As a consequence, we aim our analyst call to last 45 minutes as of this quarter and going forward. We will start today's call with Harold, who will discuss the key operational developments, followed by a more detailed look at the quarterly financial results and the financial outlook for the remainder of the year from Marina. We will then take your questions. With that, Harold, I would like to hand over to you.
Thank you, Vishwa. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. Overall, our performance for the third quarter was solid. We generated group revenue of 244 million euro and delivered a strong gross margin of 56% in the quarter. We achieved cash flow from operating activities of 71 million euro, and we have further strengthened our balance sheet position, reaching a net cash position of 52 million euro. As already explained by Vishwa, Marina will provide further information on the third quarter financial highlights and the outlook for the remainder of the year later during this presentation. I will concentrate on the key operational highlights. The PND market in the size of the PND market in Europe was 2.3 million units in the third quarter. That's approximately 15% lower compared to Q3 2012, in line with our expectations and the trends seen in the first half of the year. Our Q3 2013 PND revenue in Europe was flat compared to the same quarter last year, as the decline of the market was partially offset by an increase in market share to more than 50% and by strengthening of our ASPs. We made the new generation PNDs fully available across Europe. The PND market size in North America was 1.1 million units in the third quarter, and that is 28% lower compared to Q3 2012. We've chosen not to participate in highly discounted promotional activities, and our market share, as a result, was weak at 17% in the third quarter. After initial introduction earlier this year, consumers started shipping our new GPS sports watch in the U.S. in July, accompanied by a communications campaign launched in September. Following a further geographical rollout, our sports watches are now available in 21 countries globally. In October, we also launched a new advertising campaign, Quicker Journeys When You Need Them, which is emphasizing the benefits of dynamic routing and of our real-time traffic information, one of our core assets. We launched this radio and billboard campaign mid-October in our core markets at the beginning of this week. In automotive and licensing, we continue to make inroads into the automotive market, although revenue is affected by ongoing low car sales. In September, our real-time traffic information services was added to additional Daimler cars, and we started shipping our navigation application into Sony's second-generation in-dash infotainment system. We also entered a partnership with Ford where future TomTom iOS and Android navigation applications will connect to Ford's Sync in-dash multimedia system. In addition, the Renault R-Link built-in infotainment system was ranked as the best in-dash information system available in a study performed by SBD, which is an independent automotive research consultancy firm. R-Link was scored consistently high scores for a balance of ease of use and feature richness. We are in the process of completely renewing the mapping platform and our map-making tools. We are moving into a real-time map-making process and discovers the whole chain of community input and validation, but also distributing that content to a broad range of client applications. The new platform allows us to manage and handle customer feedback in near real time. In other words, if we detect a change in the road network, we can distribute this change to customer devices in near real time. Our P&D MapShare service now delivers more updates as a result of this new system. All updates are, of course, done in a quality checked transaction system, whatever source we are using, and those transactions can and are used to generate incremental updates. Over the last 9 months, we multiplied the number of MapShare changes with a factor 8, and this number will continue to go up as the system matures. In August, Business Solutions acquired Cordina. It's the number one fleet management service provider in Spain. They have a broad local sales network, well-established local service hub. More than two-thirds of Business Solutions revenue is now recurring subscription-based revenue, generated by an installed base of 310,000 Webfleet subscribers. The industry dynamics for Webfleet continue to be very favorable. The system delivers short payback periods for our customers. They prove to be very sticky, and as a result, we are enjoying very low churn rates. The market is still fragmented and underpenetrated. And this concludes my part of the presentation. I would now like to hand over to Marina.
Thank you, Harold. And I shall now begin a more detailed look at our quarterly financials. The results that we delivered for the third quarter were particularly strong at the gross margin level, which flowed through to the operating result. Consumer revenue decreased by 12% year-on-year to €151 million. Year-on-year, we reported flat P&D revenue in Europe, as the decline in the P&D market was partially offset by an increase in market share to more than 50% and by a strengthening of our average selling prices. We saw a decrease in P&D revenue in North America, which was driven in the main by the smaller market size. Revenue from fitness products, although still a small revenue stream relatively, more than doubled compared to the same quarter last year, largely driven by our new ranges of GPS sports watches. In the automotive segment, the industry continues to face low car sales in Europe, which is impacting revenue. As such, we reported revenue of €44 million in the third quarter, a decrease of 11% or €5 million compared to the same quarter of last year. In licensing, revenue was 17% lower compared to the same quarter last year. The decline came mainly from lower GIS, so government and small business-to-business type revenue, partially related to the timing of contracts signed in the previous year. Business Solutions continues to perform well and generated revenue of €21 million in the quarter, which is an 11% increase year on year. Following the acquisition of Cordina, Business Solutions counted 310,000 Webfleet subscriptions at the end of the quarter. The installed base of subscriptions grew by 39% compared with Q3 2012. Business Solutions continued to grow its recurring revenue base, which represented around two-thirds of total revenue. The level of hardware decreased as a percentage of the overall revenue mix in Business Solutions. At the gross margin level, we reported a strong gross margin in the quarter of 56%, which is an increase of 1 percentage point year on year. The increase was partly due to higher margin P&D sales in the EMEA region and partly due to a number of provision releases. Excluding the provision releases, the gross margin would have been 54% compared to 52% in the previous year. FX had little impact on the gross margin, although revenue at constant currencies would have been a few million euro higher. Total operating expenses for the quarter amounted to 124 million euro, an increase of 5.4 million year on year. This increase was mainly the result of higher SG&A expenses and stock compensation expenses, partly offset by lower marketing costs. Marketing expenses are also partially phased out to the fourth quarter, when they will be substantially higher compared to Q3. And this increase is caused by the new communication campaigns, which Harold explained earlier. The effective tax rate, we reported a group net income tax of 2 million euro in the third quarter, which was a decrease of 4.5 million compared to last year. The effective tax rate in the third quarter was 15% compared to 22.7% in the corresponding quarter of last year. The lower effective tax rate for the quarter was mainly caused by one-off releases of tax provisions following the completion of tax audits. The net result was 11 million euro compared to 22 million euro last year, and an increase of 3.7 million euro compared to the second quarter of 2013. Adjusted EPS was 10 euro cents in Q3 and compares to 14 euro cents in the same quarter last year. The adjusted EPS year to date was 20 euro cents compared to 27 euro cents last year. At the beginning of the year, I explained that the deferred revenue relating to lifetime traffic and lifetime maps would negatively impact our adjusted EPS this year, and indeed, year to date, this impact is included in that adjusted EPS. During the quarter, we generated cash from operations of 71 million euro compared to 50 million euro in the third quarter of last year. The increase was mainly driven by higher working capital from other liabilities. We reported total deferred revenue for the quarter of 115 million euro in the balance sheet, which was 22 million up compared to last year. And this increase is a combination of higher deferred revenue relating to lifetime maps and traffic in P&Ds, and also to some extent due to higher deferred revenue on certain licensing contracts. Capital investments during the third quarter equaled 24 million euro, which is 12 million higher than the same quarter last year. Maps continue to be our largest area of investment, and we also saw increased activity in customer-specific automotive projects and in our core navigation software development. Additionally, we acquired Cordina in Spain. We further strengthened our balance sheet, net with net cash of 52 million at the end of the quarter, which is an increase of 46 million euro compared to the second quarter and 205 million compared to Q3 2012. Turning now to the outlook, as a result of the year-to-date adjusted EPS performance and based on our expectations for the fourth quarter, we've increased our adjusted EPS outlook for the full year. On the revenue side, we expect now to deliver full-year revenue which is towards the upper end of our previously given guidance of between 900 and 950 million euro. And we expect to deliver adjusted EPS of around 25 euro cents, and our previous guidance was around 20 euro cents. This concludes the formal part of the presentation, and operator, we'd now like to start with the Q&A session.
Like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Your questions will be polled in the order they're received, and there will be a short pause while participants register for a question. first question comes from Stuart Jeffrey from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks very much. I had more of a sort of background question. Given that Nokia's HERE unit is likely to be making a lot more noise now that it's a bit more visible, I was wondering if you could just give us a bit more of a backdrop on your licensing business and automotive in particular, to give us a bit of an update on your positioning in that market. So specifically market shares in maps, perhaps, in the automotive market, and give us a sense of, you know, how your business is developing between maps, the applications and sort of the hardware components in the automotive business, just to give us a sense of where you stand and how you think your market share has been trending in the face of what might be a bit more of an aggressive marketing campaign out of Nokia.
Yeah, Stuart, thank you. Yeah, it's difficult for me to comment on the other map maker. You know, there's some flux in that market, that's for sure. I don't think we've seen the end game. So it's more scenario thinking than anything else, and I don't want to engage in scenario thinking in this call, but it's clear that things are happening in the industry. You know, I think our strategy for automotive customers is to win market share with a combination of components. Traffic information is one of those components, maps, but also maps in runtime version that we can upgrade incrementally, as well as software and navigation software, routing engines, dynamic routing, and so on and so forth. So we have a richer and a broader portfolio than we've had before. We see evidence in the marketplace that that strategy is gaining traction and interest from car makers. I think the fact that we launched the P&D based on the new software system has helped us to create visibility for that new technology. I think the overall market reception has been positive. I think the strategy resonates. It is the type of product and approach that car makers are expecting from us. You will also see less, and we've communicated that earlier, less emphasis on hardware sales in the automotive sphere. We are closer than ever before to tier one hardware vendors that are serving the OEs as well. And we expect to be able to close deals on the back of that and move forward in increasing our market share. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had any sort of market share statistics that you were able to share. I think, you know, a few years ago we heard of Navtech perhaps having 70% market share of in-dash mapping and TeleAtlas 30%, but I haven't really been able to see any stats that sort of track that since. And, you know, just something to give a little bit of momentum dynamic behind what you're saying would be great.
Yeah, it's difficult to come up with accurate and reliable market share numbers. I don't think there's an industry body or the research firm that's covering that. I don't think that we have been able to move the dial significantly in our favor so far.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Francis Minua from Modern Family. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Andrew here, as you are, but thanks for taking my question. I wanted to kind of ask a bit about the consumer business in particular. I think flat revenues in European PNDs is a pretty strong performance, we can all agree, and obviously you're seeing growth in fitness. But with the overall revenue in that division is down. I wanted particularly, clearly the U.S. is part of that, but I wanted to also focus on how bundling lifetime traffic and lifetime maps with, I guess, the bulk of your more recent device sales is impacting other subscription streams of revenue in that business. So could you give us an indication of how much that particular line of business is down year on year, and I guess kind of how material that is to the division versus, say, the decline in U.S. P&Ds.
Yeah, so just to refresh everybody's memory, the new platform, so the NAV4 devices are all coming with lifetime maps and lifetime traffic. We have for the traffic service, we have two different products, one that come with a built-in modem and SIM card, and the other devices come with Bluetooth connectivity. So if you connect to a phone, you get access to the net, and then you can download traffic information and do the dynamic routing. That is well received by the market. People like it. In terms of reporting our revenue, we're only recognizing the hardware sales, and we're deferring the revenue for the services. So there is, in deferred revenue on the balance sheet, you will see the total amount of deferred revenue related to services. You will see that specified. So in accountancy terms, we continue to defer revenue. There is a large installed base. As you know, we've sold 75 million P&Ds over in the history. A lot of those devices and units are still used, and a lot of those customers are still, especially in the holiday time and when driving season starts, updating their devices both with new software and new maps. That is still a very significant revenue stream, but we expect that revenue stream to decline over time. I think as a result of our new strategy, we have been able, partly because of that new strategy of bundling those services, we have been able to strengthen our market position in our core market, and that has resulted in market share gains. So I think the strategy is correct. It's delivering the results we expected. Over time, the external revenue from services will decline, but we will continue to defer service revenue as part of a unit sale. And Marina has more information if you want what it amounts to, what the actual numbers are.
Okay, maybe you can follow up a bit on that offline then. Maybe kind of just a follow-up on the U.S. business then in that case. You mentioned kind of promotional activity in Q3 and you're not participating. Has that come earlier than you would have expected in previous years? I mean, normally you would expect to see that around Q4 and the holiday season. I mean, is there something particular happening in that market? Is there a risk that the aggressive behavior we're seeing there could be more structural?
Well, I think, you know, it's a tough marketplace in North America, and we accepted a slight drop in market share in return for better margins. We are turning that North American operation into profitable business again. You know, I think it's important North American market also for sports activities has gone well. It started to contribute visibly to our performance there. You know, the products for P&D products in Europe have been well received, and we're also looking forward to introducing them to the North American market as well. Start defending and expanding our P&D markets in North America as a result of that.
Okay.
But I don't think structurally we're seeing a different U.S. market. It is characterized by quite a lot of promotional activity on an ongoing basis. We have just traded a bit of market share for profitability in terms of how we've approached the market.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Peter Ofsen from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. First of all, question on business solutions. Taking into account that there was a small acquisition, it seems that the growth rate was a bit light. Was that due to some lumpiness in hardware sales, or are you seeing a slowdown in that particular business? And the question on the licensing business, where you say in the press in the presentation slides that the new map production platform is starting to deliver. How will that show in the numbers? Will it lead to lower R&D cost, or how will that translate into the results? And then final question on the one-offs. I understand there was release of provisions both in the cost of sales and in the income tax. Just to understand how much of the EPS guidance upgrade comes from these one-offs. Could you quantify the absolute amount of these provision releases?
Okay, thank you. Let me take the first question about business solutions. So there's a couple of factors there. In our core markets, especially Europe, we have different sales models depending on territory. So we in Europe we do the whole sale, and we own the customer, we invoice the customer, and so on and so forth. Some other territories, South Africa, Australia, North America, we're licensing technology, but partnering with industry players to get volume in that market. On the whole, if you look at organic growth year on year, we added about 27% more subscriptions year over year. If you include the Cordina acquisition, the growth was 39%. So the underlying growth of subscriptions is going, you know, in line with expectations, about double the rate of the industry growth. We're gaining market share, we're strengthening our position, and we do all that on a very clean technology base that remains scalable. So all that is going according to plan. What was slightly disappointing in Q3 was the amount of hardware we managed to sell in the form of link boxes, navigation devices, fleet terminals, other hardware that go with a Webfleet subscription. So there the number was slightly lower.
Yeah, and I think there's also a bit of a change in the mix of the hardware being sold that is influencing that. So the hardware can be a PND, the hardware can be a link box, and you know, so it, depending on the mix there, that can impact the amount of hardware proportionally in the overall mix. So there was some impact from that. I'll answer the question about adjusted EPS, and then we need to come back to the one on maps. But on the adjusted EPS, yes, so we had a 2 percentage point impact on the gross margin from release of provision and some impact also in the tax charge. And I would overall, that had an impact of between 1 and 2 cents on the adjusted EPS. It would be very helpful if you could just repeat the question on maps for us as well.
Yeah, on one of the slides in the presentation, you highlighted that the new map production platform is starting to deliver. I have the impression that that will lower the cost to maintain the map database. Is that indeed the case? And if so, how will that show in your numbers? Would it lead to lower R&D costs going forward?
Well, the map production platform will do two things. It will make our map operation a lot more efficient, so we can do more with the same amount of money, or the money we spend on map maintenance will have a bigger impact on map quality. So that's one important consequence of that. But probably more important is that we now have a mechanism to deliver those map improvements to customers much faster. And that's especially true in the automotive industry. So the way that currently works is you buy a car, there's a navigation system, and then, you know, if the map gets outdated or you start feeling it getting outdated, you go to the dealer, buy a new CD-ROM, and then stick it in the dashboard. then hopefully you will get the recent version of the map. And that is inefficient. It's quite frankly not what consumers are expecting these days of technology. They want that those changes, by the time they are detected, to show up in their car in near real time. So we see big improvements there in efficiency, in usability, in ease of use. And a third element I would like to mention is that the whole meaning of community input will get a new meaning. If a car driver sees something that has changed, he can report that, and we can make sure that that change will show up in the dashboard of the car a day or 2 days later. And that is also a big plus, and will make it much more cost-effective to detect change and fix changes in the road network. What that will mean over time for the level of spend on map making, I don't know that yet. But one thing is for sure, we will get a whole lot more efficient and we'll be able to deliver a much better end user experience as a result of it.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from Alexandra Petrick from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations for good results. I'd like to ask a question about cash allocation. You now no longer have any debt issues, of course. Other companies in your sector have decided to start distributing some dividends. What is your long-term plan for cash utilization? Would you like to use it for acquisitions, and if that's the case, in which area, or would you also consider starting to return cash to shareholders? Thanks.
Thanks, Alexander. Long term is a long time in this industry. I mean, we're doing well with our cash flow. As you can see, we are in the market for acquisitions in business solutions because we believe that we can, for the right acquisitions, we can deliver a good return there and increase the value of the business solutions business. I'm still building towards higher levels of cash. They're relatively low at the moment, and they need to go a significant distance before we can say, we're over on that. But I think we need cash for our operations, we need cash for acquisitions, and we're moving forward in that direction. But I can't make any further comment, I'm afraid.
Can I also just ask, as a follow-up, I know you've already talked about the U.S. market, but at what point is this market too small and your market share too small for you to stop competing in it on the P&D side? I mean, I know that the fitness and outdoors is interesting for you guys, but the P&D is now like what, one-third of what it used to be like 4 or 5 years ago. Is this market really, really of much appeal to you at this stage? Thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to give you an absolute number, but obviously we're watching the situation closely. It's we've turned black numbers again, also in the P&D business, and we will continue with this distribution of P&D sport watches, and that's the plan going forward.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Mark Swissenberg from ING. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Harold and Marina. Thanks for taking my questions. First, a question on the gross margin. Just to confirm, you mentioned that Forex had a little impact in the quarter, but then I think you also mentioned a few millions higher or lower due to on constant currency. Could you first of all clarify that, what the gross margin would have been excluding the Forex? And then looking out to Q4, the mix is improving. What do you expect to see in terms of gross margin development into Q4 and perhaps also into next year with ASPs improving and the mix improving? That's my first question. And then my second question on the cash flow. Strong cash flow in Q3. Last year also quite some cash inflow in Q4. You see deferred revenues kicking in. Can you first of all give a bit more color on the cash flow in Q3, what's driving it, and what we can expect for Q4 and in terms of cash flow this year? Thank you.
Yeah, firstly on the FX, to clarify, there is a slide in the presentation deck in the appendix that sets it out more clearly, but broadly speaking, the impact of the major currencies on our gross margin percentage, in Q3, if we stated that on constant currency, was negligible. So there's little impact there. But on the top line, because of the weaker dollar, our revenues, if they've been translated at rates from last year, our revenues would have been a few million higher. But gross margin percentage, little impact. Just in terms of the Q3 cash flow, the two things really driving the Q3 cash flow are, the stronger operating result and also the positive inflow from working capital. And the drivers behind the positive inflow from working capital come in, if you like, the other liabilities line from the increased deferred revenue and also from certain increased accruals. So deferred revenue, where the revenue will be released into the P&L over the next few years, and then some accruals which will turn into cash. And those are the two impacts there.
And could you perhaps shed a bit of light what we can expect in Q4 in that respect? Will we see a similar or higher cash inflow like last year? What are the moving parts there that are different?
Yeah, I mean, the key things that impact Q4 are the level of operating results, and you can read that through from looking at our adjusted EPS guidance.
Yep.
And then on the working capital side, what I would expect there is that the impact will be very much smaller in Q4. So, read into that, you won't see a cash flow performance like you've seen in Q3.
Okay.
But I think overall, we're very happy with how cash flow has developed this year.
No, absolutely. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Yosef Esaya from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have three questions, but it's short ones. So, the first one is regarding the market. If you can give us an update on what you think of the market for P&Ds is going forward. So clearly, it's down 20%-ish this year. This quarter, year on year. How do you see progress in the next few quarters? The second one is if you can remind us of the current portion of deferred revenue from the live services in your P&L at the moment. And then the third one is if you can just tell us how the changing retail landscape and is having an impact on the way you manage your distribution channels for both P&Ds and the new products, how does that imply for your inventory management? Thank you.
On just in terms of the P&D market going forward, I think that at this point it's difficult for us to give estimates of how that will develop in 2014. I mean, there's a couple of things we should think about. Looking firstly as our new products become more and more widely rolled out, and we'll see more of that as we go through Q4. Also, clearly the impact of the advertising campaign, which is the first one we've done for a while. So, we need to look at how both of those develop, and, we'll take a view and give indications to you at the time of our Q4 results. There was also a question about deferred revenue, and so what Harold talked about before is that, in the deferred revenue balance, we are now deferring lifetime maps and lifetime services. When we sell the new generation of P&Ds, or P&Ds indeed bundled with lifetime maps or lifetime traffic, we're deferring anything from between 10 and 30% of the selling price at the time of making the sale. That ends up in the deferred revenue balance, and then that gets released through the P&L over a four-year period. So that's how that works. So you're going to see, as that sort of ramps up, a gradual build-up of the deferred revenue balance. the deferred revenue that we used to have in the balance sheet in the past, I mean, that's still unwinding and will take some time to unwind, but that tended to be released over shorter periods.
For instance, in the third quarter results, there is basically no deferred revenue from the previous generation of live traffic licenses, isn't it?
No, there would be a small amount being released through, because but it's relatively small.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Hans Slob from Rabobank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. TomTom has been able to reduce the working capital very significantly in recent years. Do you believe that we have reached now almost the end of this process, and should we expect maybe some capital outflow in the future, maybe related to restocking? That would be my first question. And the second question is related to the licensing business. It was rather weak in Q3 with a 17% drop. Should we expect a decline with the same order in the fourth quarter?
Let me take the working capital question first of all. Inventory is pretty low. It's come down a lot. I don't think there's an awful lot more that we can get out of that now. For receivables and creditors, you know, that will reflect the level of business. It's pretty tight, so I don't think the underlying statistics will change too much on that. Deferred revenue will continue to build over the next few quarters.
Yeah. So the balance of that would be more neutral or slight outflow, you believe?
I would sort of plan on working capital being relatively neutral as we go forward.
Okay, thanks.
It can vary by quarter, but in terms of the heavy lifting, in terms of what we can do with those balances, I think they're as tight as they can be.
Yeah, clear. And on the licensing business?
Yeah, sorry, could you just repeat the question?
Yeah, well, the licensing business was pretty weak in Q3. It dropped 17%. Should we expect a decline with the same order for Q4, or do you expect an improvement?
I think, you know, there's two parts to the licensing business, and that's outside automotive. There's a consumer licensing business, and there is also a licensing business, which is a smaller part that is sold into governments and smaller businesses. You know, quarter on quarter, I think we will probably, let me just double check, but my feeling would be we'd see some modest improvement in that, but it's not going to be a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Jonas Schuller from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Just two, if I could. So the first one on the European P&D situation, where basically you said revenues were already flat year-on-year in this quarter. Just if we could get a bit of an outlook here, how we should be thinking about this going forward. Do you think you can actually grow revenues again in the European P&D space? I mean, given you had just a few new product launches offering lifetime apps as well, is there maybe a bit of a positive, let's say, one-off impact in here at the moment, or is that business really structurally much better than it was a few quarters ago? And then just quickly coming to cash, back to cash flow, if you could help me understand, if you defer 10 to 30% of the ASP of a P&D with lifetime maps, shouldn't we not really expect more positive working capital inflows coming through over the next quarters from these deferred revenues, because you seem to point to a rather kind of balanced picture for the next few quarters? Thank you.
Yeah, let me just deal with the working capital question first of all. I did say the deferred revenue will continue to increase over the next few quarters. With lifetime maps and lifetime traffic, yes, I've given an indication of the amount that gets deferred. The average is a lot lower on the deferral than 30%. So that balance will continue, will grow over the next few quarters by, you know, a few million each quarter. But I think, you know, if you look at the other items in the working capital, all I'm saying is, you know, they are running at pretty much as tight as they can, and they will fluctuate somewhat between quarters. So all I don't want to plan on, I don't want us to be planning on significant input coming from working capital as we go forward, given the performance we've had to date. But deferred revenue will continue to benefit by a few million.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Okay, I think your second question was about the PND market.
In Europe specifically, yes.
In Europe. I mean, when we look at the underlying market, it's down. It's not down worse than we expected. It is down. But there is quite a different picture between geographical markets. And so, you know, when we look at some of the Northern European markets, the bigger ones for P&D, what we're seeing is lower levels of decline than we see in some of the Southern European markets. So, you know, what things can happen going forwards? Well, you know, a recovery in the macroeconomic situation in some of the Southern European markets would have a positive impact. Our market share has grown quite a lot, and so we've had uplift from that. So I think other than that, it's really looking at, you know, the impact of the advertising campaign, the impact of our new products as they roll out more widely. Can they give us the ability to improve the market overall? And can we improve our market share further? So those are the factors we're playing with. But as I said, until we've got through Q4 and until the time of our full year results, it's difficult to give colour on, you know, exactly how that all mixes together right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Wim Gill from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I've got two questions. First of all, related to your comment on your U.S. market share. You said that you're planning to start defending the U.S. market share in a similar way as you've done in Europe by, let's say, doing the lifetime maps and traffic, etc. there as well. But can you give us a bit more color on the timing on when exactly are you planning to start defending that market share? Because it's starting to become a bit of a worrying picture in the U.S. So that would be very helpful. Also, can you give me an indication on the percentage of units, P&D units that you're selling that actually have an integrated SIM card at the moment and how that developed over the past two, three quarters, please?
Yeah, Wim, so the thank you for the question. So, you know, I think the situation in the U.S. looks a little bit better than it looked, partly because the sports products are doing well, and the margins that we make on our P&D products are healthier. So we're looking at a profitable business in the U.S. But it remains a challenging market environment, especially for personal navigation devices, and the market is down quite significantly. So the longer-term outlook for the P&D market in the U.S. remains challenging. We will bring the new products to the North American market as well. They've done very well for us in Europe. I expect positive effect from that in the North American market as well. But that is not to suggest that we can turn the tide for the market. Turn the tide for the market as a whole.
And when exactly are you going to introduce the new products in the U.S.?
We have announced that Wim at this stage, and we will do that when we can announce it.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
No problem. And the second question about the percentage of devices that have an integrated SIM card developing over the past couple of quarters?
Yeah. So that's a low percentage. Those are really the high-end devices. They sell at €349. And that's really a niche product that we sell to drivers who use a lot, travel internationally. It's a fantastic product, but the absolute volumes in the segment are relatively small.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Aaron Rambokris from Campen. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Two left. And again, a follow-up on the consumer business and the differences in trading conditions between North America and Europe. I mean, I'm just trying to understand why a similar situation as we see in North America wouldn't happen in Europe. What is really different between those two marketplaces, and why are you so successful in Europe and we see the reverse in North America? And the second question is on your guidance, sort of a quantitative question. Marina, as you mentioned, SG&A expenses were substantially higher year over year. So what should we plug in our models going into the fourth quarter? Similar question for marketing expenses. Can you give us some number on those two particular items in the cost base? Thank you.
Yeah, so the markets are different. So P&Ds in Europe started earlier. It's been wider adopted for in Europe, also because of the nature of the road network and difficulties of finding addresses. The installed base in Europe is 75 million devices. That product has found its way into more cars. In Europe, more people are upgrading, are happy with the user experience they get, and there's a larger replacement market, a stronger brand, and we are actively encouraging repeat sales, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other factor is in Europe that we need to take into consideration is that consumer confidence has been very low. We've suffered from that tremendously, especially in southern Europe. We could get a little bit of tailwind also in southern Europe if the sentiment changes. There is a very direct correlation between consumer confidence and the number of products we sell. In North America, the installed base is smaller. The market started later, turned earlier, and so we see different market conditions.
So there hasn't been you don't fear a price war across Europe as you see in North America, basically.
Well, I think the prices in Europe, especially, are stabilizing. We've seen higher ASPs year on year in Europe. We also see that ASPs in North America are declining a lot less faster than they've done in the past. Also, some level of stabilization is taking place there.
Okay.
But.
Okay. And to talk and question about you had questions about costs in the fourth quarter. The major delta in cost in the fourth quarter is in marketing, where the run rate will be significantly increased to what we've seen in the other quarters of the year because of the above the line campaigns that Harold talked to.
Yeah.
So that's really the thing that will make a big difference to the OPEX. Otherwise, it's there or thereabouts. G&A will probably come down a bit, but marketing will be significantly higher.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Martin De Driver from SNS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. One question, actually. Harold, in June, in an article, you mentioned that it would make sense to split the B2B from the B2C business, and that not doing that exactly explained the share price at that point in time. You also mentioned that you're reviewing all options, possibly including a spin-off of the Business Solutions division. Today we're at €6, a little over that. Do you still feel the same, or has anything changed?
Well, first of all, I never made those comments. I think they were an interpretation by a journalist from another journalist. I've never said that, so I want to be firm there. What I've indicated is that there are various options for the business, but nothing has been specified, and we're running the business as a going concern with the and the strategy is there to stay that. So I've never said that, and I'm not saying that today. Nevertheless, we are running. We have four businesses. They're operating in their own environment with their own competition and in their own industries. Some of it are doing very well. We've seen, particular in the business solutions space, we've seen some companies emerging with very high valuations, and I think that tells you something about the value of business solutions. But it doesn't say anything how we want to play that going forward.
Okay, so no immediate plans or even starting to look at options like the ones that like Mixed Telematics or Fleetmatics have done.
As I said, what I've said, and I think that that makes it clear. We keep all our options open. It's a nice business. We can grow aggressively, and we know from previous IPOs that it's a valuable business, or potentially a very valuable business.
All right. Thank you very much.
Operator, are there any other questions?
We appear to have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Operator. I would like to thank you all for joining us this afternoon for the third quarter results call. If you have any follow-up questions at a later time, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Thank you all very much. Operator, you can close the call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the TomTom third quarter 2013 results conference call. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.